Hello,
hi,
and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
My name is Halle. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples. Before we begin today's very fun episode of Therapy Hour, we have a special announcement because it's someone very special's birthday today in the studio, and it's not me.
Is it? It's not?
No.
Oh.
It's actually you.
Oh my God, it's me!
Happy birthday! Yay! Happy birthday, Halle! It's also, not only is it Halle's birthday, but it's also International Women's Day.
Yeah.
Two very, I would say, equally significant events. And I can't think of a more perfect topic that intersects Halle, Halle's interests, and also women, than gossiping. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
And before we begin, I should say that we both support gossip, despite the negative connotations that might come with it. And we want to kind of, we want to explain why.
Well, I feel like gossiping tends to get a bad rep. And in preparation for this episode, I was talking a lot to people around me, like, how much do you think you gossip every day? And how do you feel about that? And a lot of people responded with like, oh, I gossip way too much.
Really?
And I think that there is this really negative stereotype to gossip because it's linked to women and femmes. But honestly, I feel like everyone does gossip quite a bit. And maybe not everyone likes to admit it, but I think that gossiping, venting, the general idea of like talking about other people is really villainized because of that link to like feminine associations.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair, obviously.
No. And I think like whether or not women or femmes quote unquote gossip more than other people, we're going to talk about why gossiping is not only not bad, but like actually good and beneficial.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this narrative of villainizing gossiping can actually be harmful because I think when you make people feel guilty for speaking about issues that are relevant to them and their circles, I think it takes away a little bit of like female agency there.
Yeah.
And the spread of information between people and between groups, I think can be really helpful for putting that information out there. Like, I was thinking about in our previous episode on online dating for Fun Drive, we talked about how we were both a little bit skeptical about online dating. We prefer to start seeing someone that kind of had the checks and balances that come along with knowing someone that you know or being kind of running in the same circles as you. And it made me think of this when talking about gossiping, because if you bring up a certain person's name, there might be a little bit of gossip. And maybe that's okay. Maybe I need to find out that this person was horrible to their last partner before I get involved with them.
Yeah. And same thing with friends, too. I've had it before where people, I start becoming friends with someone and I hear some things about them. And it doesn't, like, deter me from becoming friends with them. I think that it makes me think a little bit more.
Yeah.
But every single time that someone has said something to me about someone else and I become friends with them, it's ended up being true. What, like, later down the line I've heard, oh, this is what someone was bringing up.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and going back to what you were saying, we're going to get into a bigger research portion, but I did think that this was an appropriate time to talk about how there are studies, many of them, to ask self-reports and also observational studies of who gossips more. And the one thing is that women do report gossiping more. But the thing with self-reports is that you have this thing called social desirability where people will tend to present themselves in a way that is more desirable because they know that that is how they should be perceived. And because there's already this like societal disadvantage, the societal impact of women gossip, men don't. There's always this assumption that men will not say that they gossip, even if they do. And on top of that, men can lie. And also men tend not to have as many social conversations with one another. So there are reasons why women may gossip more. But it's a very humanistic trait, and we'll get into all the different details, but it's very, very normal, and everybody does it.
And I think, again, using this word of gossip, like, that doesn't sound good. I think we've been trained to think of that as a very bad and negative thing, but if we take away that label and we just put it, we just consider it talking about what's going on in our life, what's what information we have, and sharing that with our friends, and we'll get into the ways that, you know, perhaps it can turn a little bit more sour, but in general, I think that's a really good thing. And I think that it honestly freaks me out more when I find out that people aren't talking to their very close friends about what's going on with them and what's going on, and asking about what's been going on with their friends. Like, hearing that when I know something and someone else who's even closer with that person is out of the loop, I'm like, why aren't you guys talking about this? Could be good.
It's
like,
so
don't you want to figure out how to handle your situations with your friend? Because I know I do.
Also, why aren't you talking at all? That's so odd to
What are you guys talking about? If not, like, what's happening in your life?
I know. I feel like you can talk about, obviously, common interests and whatnot, but when I feel close to someone, I want to talk about other people. And it's interesting that you bring up this idea that gossip holds this really negative association, because I looked up what the definition of gossip was, and I don't know if I agree with it. I'd love to get your take. But the Oxford Dictionary says that the definition of gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. What are your thoughts?
I think that the first part of that definition definitely rings true, like conversations about maybe someone who's not necessarily always there. Or at least involving. In fact, usually not. But the part about it being unconfirmed or untrue, I guess that could be true, but I think maybe my own bias when I'm gossiping, I tend to assume that things are true, and it feels like the source is close enough that I'm like, yeah, this is true. But I guess it is also true to say that you're getting these reports secondhand very often. That, like, it, there's a possibility that it could be unconfirmed or something.
I just struggle with it because I feel like that's where gossip gets negative connotation as well. And maybe along with the association of women and how, like, women's word are is not always something that people trust. And I just had, I remember reading that and being really upset. Once I started researching and reading academic papers, they don't use that definition. But it is just so interesting that there's this caveat of it could, it's assumed that it could be untrue. So gossip is kind of just this frivolous language or frivolous conversation. And I don't know, I just didn't, I didn't like that definition. I've got beef with Oxford Dictionary now.
That makes it feel like, oh, like, did you hear that so-and-so slept with so-and-so? But it's, like, not true, and it ruins her life, and she's the new girl in the high school, and, like, I don't know, that's what that definition reminds me of.
I love that little storyline you started for us.
I invented something. But yeah, as I said, I personally consider gossiping to be beneficial. And I know I've had experiences where I felt like gossiping was a good thing from a number of different angles. Can you recall a time when gossiping benefited you in some way?
I mean, there's lots of examples for sure. I have a very distinct memory of having an interaction with someone, a friend of mine, and they said something to me that, well, they said multiple things in our interaction that really hurt me. And I remember really contemplating it for a while and kind of thinking that I was overreacting. And I was like, no, you're just looking into this too much. Like, and, you know, I have people in my life that are also friends with this person. So I was like, oh, like, maybe I won't say anything. That feels really odd to say to someone else. But it really just wasn't sitting with me right. And it took me, I think, quite a few weeks to reach out to someone and talk to someone about it. And yeah, I mean, we were discussing a person who was not there in somewhat of a negative way.
Yeah.
But it was good, I think, for two reasons. And this is kind of always my justification for gossiping is it felt really good to get something off my chest. I think when you're holding on to something, it can really eat you up and it can be a small thing. And I honestly feel like if you don't tell someone or if you don't get it off your chest, whether it's a friend, a family member, a therapist, whatever, then it's just going to stick and I think it's just going to fester. Mm. So first saying it was great. And then also getting to bounce off my idea and get validation from someone to look back and say, yeah, I mean, that is kind of odd, was really powerful. And at the end of the day, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I don't believe that everything needs to be confronted. I think that there are small issues or things in your life that you can not internalize, but you can deal with on your own slash talk about it with other people. And in this situation specifically, once I got it off my chest and I told people, that was it. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt justified. It felt good. And then I was like, okay, now I've gotten it off my chest. Someone's told me that this is also bad. And now I feel good and I can walk away from the situation. Yeah.
And I think I've had the most hesitancy with gossiping when the person I need to vent about or talk about or I'm having an issue with is also friends with the person that I'd like to gossip or vent to about this. And that's when it gets a bit tricky and you have to kind of know what the boundaries are there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you were able to like have that sense of relief without necessarily needing to take it to a confrontational point when it didn't seem to be necessary.
Right.
And as much as gossiping can be helpful when kind of you're the one doing it, I think it can also sometimes be difficult when you are, I feel like saying the victim of gossiping is a little bit dramatic.
Yes,
but
it's fitting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you either suspect or it's confirmed that other people are talking about you when you're not there, like that can be a very unsettling feeling.
Yes.
And I actually had an experience with that somewhat recently that was kind of uncomfortable, where so what the situation was that a friend of mine had, you know, shot his shot and asked me to go out in a more unconventional way.
Yeah.
And I had shared that with a friend, and my mutual friend with the person I had shared that with brought it up to me when we were in a group setting. And not that I had like intentionally not told that third friend, but I just, you know, the person who had asked me out was a friend of mine. I didn't want to embarrass him. The reason why I talked to the first friend in the first place was because I needed some advice on how to handle the situation.
Right.
And honestly, it was really jarring to think about my two friends who are ultimately quite removed from what the situation was talking about that when I wasn't there. And also I felt protective of my friend who felt kind of like the butt of the joke in this situation. And it's fine. The group that I was in included the friend who had shared the information with the third friend. Hope this is all making sense.
Very fun to try to keep everything anonymous and then also being like, so friend one.
Right, exactly. No names. But the original friend who had kind of divulged the information was there. And I'm not a very confrontational person, but I kind of did call them out in that moment. And we sort of texted about it later and everything's resolved and it's totally fine. And I just explained, you know, you knew that I was friends with this person that you were telling. You knew that that person didn't know. So clearly I was choosing not to tell that person.
Right.
That's kind of the judgment call that I would have wished came into a play.
Yeah.
Where I was friends with that person. That person wasn't separate from me. And if I wanted them to know, I could have told them.
Yeah. And again, I think that obviously we don't tend to control what other people say. And I think there have been times that I think I've said to you before where I talk about another person. I'm like, I hope they're going to their friends and talking about this situation. Because if it directly, and not in the same situation that you're talking about, but in a general sense, that if there's an issue between me and someone, I really do hope they're talking to other people. But it does get into a bit of a sticky situation where it is just kind of mindlessly talking about other people.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen. And maybe it happens constantly and we never see it, you know, come to the surface. I think, though, it is a very jarring thing to think about where you're like, oh, you were talking about me.
Yeah.
And like, as much as we can sit here and say this is a normal thing, people do this all the time, it can still be a little bit upsetting. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone that's listening to us that they can't be upset about hearing that other people are talking about them.
Yeah,
it's normal. And I'm sure everyone's done it. But it can also still hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also something to keep in mind when you're talking about other people.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, so we're going to take a little quick break, our little fun song break. Today we have a very fun song. If there's any TikTok fans in the crowd tonight.
Or in the Heights fans.
Or in the Heights fans. Less likely, honestly, I feel
like. So? Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know many people in our friend group or the people that listen to this that know In the Heights. But we're going to be listening to a snippet of the song No Me Diga. No me diga means don't tell me in Spanish. I think that's correct. I really should have fact checked that before I said it. But it's from the In the Heights soundtrack and it's a really fun song. There's a really fun trend on TikTok of friends telling their other friends secrets behind, like with this song playing and getting their reactions. So it's quite fitting for our little gossip episode.
I'll say. And when we come back, we will be talking about some hypotheses of how gossiping came to be, why so many people gossip, and how it can benefit both an individual and a social group. We'll be right back.
Unladylike Co. presents Bad Eggs, a film following the lives of Greek gods Persephone, Hades, and Eve, who have been plucked away from their myths and placed in the modern world. The film is available online from March 16th to 27th, with an in-person premiere on March 13th, 7 p.m. at the Norman Rothstein Theater. Be sure to be there.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections is every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
And we're back! You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about gossiping. Whisper.
That was me whispering gossip. I love that.
So before the break, we spoke a little bit about gossiping and how that made us feel and our experiences, some of our experiences with gossiping. And like you said, it's something that so many people do. So I'm curious why. Like, what is the motivation behind why people gossip?
Yeah, so there is a ton of research and a ton of different hypotheses as to why exactly we started gossiping and what it does for us. The first thing I wanted to say, which I thought was so interesting, I usually don't like statistics like this, but on average, a person is gossiping 52 minutes out of the day.
Oh, what?
Which, remember with these statistics, they're not actually like every single day you're going to gossip 52 minutes, but it's taking a time out
of a
week.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about when we sit down and have a chat. I feel like that's like 3 hours.
Yeah, but we're weird.
Well, yeah. So I saw that and I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. And there's a lot of reasons why we want to gossip. There are a lot of social benefits. It facilitates a lot of social connection, social conscientiousness, and group adherence, which pretty much means you are thinking about your group. You want to protect your group and you want to make the group as adaptable and as successful as it can be. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later in this portion, but I really wanted to talk about the two main hypotheses that I've learned in the past few years through school and also just through this research that I was doing. So one thing that I found that was very interesting was that there's this specific hypothesis of called vocal grooming, which pretty much this guy, Robin Dunbar, made this observation that apes and other primates tend to connect by physical grooming. So they will like lick one another or they'll pick dirt out of their skin. So the hypothesis was that when social groups in Homo sapiens started to increase, we started sticking in groups for much longer, or not much longer, we stuck in groups for like in bigger numbers. And our language was maturing. We were using our vocal cords a lot more. Instead of picking one person at a time, so grooming one person at a time, because that felt a bit inadequate and it wasn't very efficient, we started just using like cooing and noises so that we could do other things with our hands while still connecting with multiple other primates. And then as language progressed, that turned into like social groups speaking with one another and facilitating intimacy and connection.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Which is so cool. There's a lot of people that don't love this hypothesis.
Oh. I like it.
But that's what psychology is all about.
Yeah.
Some people disagree, some people agree. You know, there's a lot of issues surrounding like timeline and language acquisition and all that stuff. But it's a really interesting idea to think that, because we look at how we use gossip now and how we speak socially to one another, and it does form an intimate connection. We were talking about that. Like, we trust the people we gossip to. We care about the people that we talk to and then sometimes even talk about.
Yeah.
For me specifically, I feel close to people when I can talk to them.
Yeah.
And a lot of my conversations surround my social life, the people around me. And it's not always bad gossip. Yeah. Like, it's just talking about your day and what you've encountered.
And maybe like friends that you share. And I think when I kind of have a newer friend and then we get to the level where we kind of start gossiping with each other, I feel like it does start to like, I don't know, it's kind of a testament to the fact that we're getting closer. We trust each other. We're going to become better friends. So that definitely resonates in a big way.
Yeah. So there's Robin Dunbar. He is very famous, but they have, a lot of people have gone back and said, we don't really know. You can't prove these hypotheses. There's not much like history or like historical artifacts to like support it in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So there's this whole other hypothesis, which I think a hypothesis, which I think some people know about. It's not as like science backed.
Okay.
But a lot of anthropologists think that this might have been something that happened. And I've heard about it in a few of my classes. Pretty much the idea is that gossiping was formed in groups of females. And that's why we still really associate it with women and femmes. The idea was is that men tended to do a lot of hunting in more primal groups.
Right.
So, you know, earlier on in our evolution. So they were out running. They were out attacking animals. And if they were standing still together, they needed to be quiet. So they weren't really talking.
Mm.
While women tended to be more on the like home base of their own camp. So they did a lot of cleaning and they did a lot of berry picking, a lot of gathering, activities that you didn't need to be silent for and you also weren't out of breath for.
Right.
So it became this, the idea kind of stems out of this opportunity for women to speak to one another. And because groups at the time would form, you might have new people coming into your social group that would come live with you. And so the idea was that then when these women would go and gather berries and whatnot, they would talk about the new people coming into the group and almost evaluate them to see if they wanted to keep them in the group or not. And that's kind of what gossiping is, not as of an intense idea nowadays, but you are evaluating other people.
Yeah.
You are seeing what someone does. You're talking about it with someone. And we'll get into research about what can happen when someone knows that they're being gossiped about and how they change their actions.
Ooh.
So it makes a lot of sense that this kind of stemmed out of, honestly, a need to survive.
Right.
And we talked a lot about social rejection in last week's episode or last time's episode. Rejection was a big deal. That meant that you were alone. That meant you didn't have a group that would protect you.
Right.
So being like gossiping was a very, very important thing to be doing because that person could inevitably hurt your group. And if they were not going to adapt in the ways that you wanted them to, they had to be ousted.
Yeah.
And usually the idea behind this hypothesis is that it was women who were discussing that.
Wow, it's really interesting when our episodes have overlap with each other, especially in the research portions, because there is, I don't know, there's just a lot of connection. It's fun to make those connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you bring up the social rejection there, and that makes a lot of sense. That kind of social rejection and gossiping would go hand in hand because, like, sometimes gossiping isn't coming out of the fact that, oh, we're gossiping about how much we love this person, you know? We're gossiping about the fact that maybe we have an issue or something's going wrong there with someone that we know. But despite all that, you and I, again, both see benefits in gossiping. Were you able to find any research that actually supports the idea that gossiping could be a good thing?
Oh, yeah. Almost everything in research supports it.
Nice. It wasn't just a feeling. No. There's truth. There's truth and science on our side.
Well, the thing is, too, and you kind of said this beforehand, and I will say that I disagree with the idea that gossip is negative in nature, because what an article that I read found out was that a lot of gossip that we use is actually just neutral. It's just talking about other people without really an intention to be negative or positive. There's also such thing as positive gossip. And I feel like people do it. They just don't realize they're doing it.
Yeah.
Because think about when, I don't know, you and I have met people before and we leave after hanging out with them and we're like, oh my God, I love this person much.
I guess I never think of that as gossip.
I wouldn't have either, but then this week I've just been thinking about it so much and I've been listening really closely to the way people talk about other people.
Yeah.
And really, at its core, it's just talking about other people.
Right.
It's evaluating them. And those evaluations can be positive.
Yeah.
And that being said, yeah, there's a lot of research to back up gossip. One thing that I want to really hone in on is that there is a lot of activity in your prefrontal cortex that has to do with navigating social behaviors. So they found when doing some brain scans that gossip, when people hear gossip about themselves and other people, their prefrontal cortex reacts to it. And it can cause a bit of like heart racing or an activation.
I could see that.
So usually when someone is observing someone doing something that is not socially acceptable, it activates this anxiety that gets people uncomfortable. I think kind of think about something like socially awkward that someone may do and how it makes you feel a little uncomfortable. And then they found that when someone then went to someone else and talked to someone about what they had just experienced, it calmed them down.
Wow. So gossiping can kind of help relieve that uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
By just sharing it, like, this is what I've just seen.
Yeah. Which is cool.
That's interesting.
Because that whole thing that we were talking about earlier, at least I was talking about earlier, about how gossip can get something off my chest, I feel like is so pertinent to this.
Yeah.
Where, like, you feel that you need to say something, or it's just it's sitting with you wrong.
Yeah.
And then you go and talk about it and it kind of relieves that. So that was really cool to find out. And yeah, so then also there's been a lot of studies that show that gossiping is really important for reputation management, which is just making sure that the way someone is behaving is correct in the social terms that their social group has made.
Yeah.
And then also is really important for cultural learning.
Mm.
Cultural learning is learning, obviously, how one's culture that they're living in works and how you can behave in it. Talking to one another about other people and how they're behaving, yes, it moderates their behavior, but it also moderates your own.
Mm-hmm.
You're having an idea of what other people find acceptable or not.
Yeah, totally. As you're saying this, I was thinking about, you know, we talk about boundaries so much on this show, and I'm not necessarily always sitting down with all my friends and explicitly asking them, hey, what are your boundaries when it comes to this, this, and this? But rather, I think I'm a lot of times actually picking up some of my friends and close people in my life's boundaries just by them talking about the people in their life who maybe have overstepped some of those boundaries, and I'm taking a mental note of, oh, this is a boundary that this person has that I need to respect. And through gossiping, I'm kind of able to deduce that, which is actually really, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I felt like when I was reading this, was I listen to my friends when they're talking about other people. And I definitely can think of times with you where, like, I've heard you express things with other people, and then that's caused me to then check in with you when I'm doing something that may exhibit that behavior that I know that's not something that you want.
Totally.
So it's a really beneficial thing. Yeah, going forward, there's a bunch of studies that talk about a lot about reputation, a lot about social bonding, because when, like we were saying, this type of conversation is incredibly intimate, it's like a secret, and you only really tell secrets to people that you trust.
Right.
So that type of conversation, it's almost as if the person that you're speaking to has passed that test, so they are let in. And also there's studies that show that when people act in certain ways and they are gossiped about and they hear that gossip, they will try to mend their behaviors more so or the same as someone who's already in the group. So they do a bunch of measures that we don't really need to talk about because it's very complicated. But the main thing you have to know is that they've done tests on sharing gossip with other people about themselves and then observed how they acted like with the knowledge of that gossip, yeah. and they are regulating themselves a lot more than they were beforehand because they have this, you know, part of their brain that's kind of clicking and thinking, I have to improve now if I want to be a part of this social group.
Yeah, and thinking too, just having awareness of kind of how things, the fact that things are being perceived maybe differently than you would have perceived them,
yeah.
And like being able to share that difference in experience.
Yeah. And yeah, so there's quite a bit about what gossip was in our previous times of being cave people and how it's like facilitated right now. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about the lying aspect because there's this idea that gossip is lying or it's like misinformation in some way.
Like confusing almost, I would say, gossip and rumors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one thing is that most humans have really, really bad memories.
That's true. Can vouch.
Yeah. Violet is in probably the 95th percentile.
I don't want to talk about it. It's not good.
But in general, we are really bad at remembering things.
Yeah.
And we exaggerate things. And there was another study that I read that was talking about how people do exaggerate when they're sharing gossip, but it's usually more to either bolster the story and make it, quote unquote, like more believable or more exciting, and or it's doing it in a way to actually benefit the person that people are gossiping about. Very rarely are people actually gossiping and lying, because that is just called lying.
Right. That's pretty surprising, honestly. I guess I am actually thinking about a time when a piece of gossip became untrue, but it was a matter of misunderstanding.
Yes.
Which I think it could be that case a lot.
And I think that
it's not actually malicious.
No. And that's another thing, was pretty consistently in these studies, they found that most people are not trying to gossip for malicious intent.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do lie, it's an issue of perception and what they are taking away from that event.
Yeah.
Also, you play into the fact that sometimes people are seeing things when they're intoxicated or it's really loud. They mishear someone.
Right.
I've done that before. And, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
But usually that misinformation is not because someone's doing it with intent. It is genuinely because we are bad at remembering things.
Right.
Usually we're not very good at perceiving those things, but anyways, that is the end of all I have to say.
No, it's not the end of all you have to say. It's just the end of the research portion.
Well, the research portion.
Don't go away. We've got more fun things.
No, I was just saying that my little fun nerd section is done.
Yeah.
And if you've stuck with it this far, thank you so much.
No, that was super. That might have been my favorite research portion so far. That was super interesting.
I know. I hope that people listen and
of course
are getting some more insight on this stuff. Anyways, yes, we've got a few more ads lined up for when we come for you. And when we come back, we'll be talking about when gossiping can get a bit out of hand and how you can gossip a bit more productively.
About 40% of UBC students experience food insecurity. Sprouts is hosting a weekly produce market from 10:30 to 1:30 every Monday in the Life Building. With produce from local farms, students are free to take whatever they want. Sprouts Cafe is open from Monday to Thursday and is offering 30 free meals a day, completely free and no questions asked. They also host Community Eats, a completely free hot lunch that is open for all. Stop by and support the Sprouts cause for sustainable, accessible food at UBC. Paul Jacobs, former member of Pottery, plays Wise Hall on May 26th. New music on the way this April. Tickets for his solo show are now on sale.
And And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM.
Woo!
Happy birthday, Halle. Anyways, I feel like we have learned a lot about gossiping and how good it can be. But I don't want to turn a blind eye to the fact that it's not all dandy,
nope.
Rainbows and butterflies.
Nope, as most of life isn't.
No, there's always a dark side, unfortunately. Can you think of about a time where gossiping went too far?
Yeah, I mean, again, I like to be transparent on this podcast, and I think both of us will be the first to say that we are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of a time a few years ago when I was having a lot of issues with a friend of mine, and I was genuinely just angry with them. There was a lot of issues that were going on between us, and I didn't know how to confront the situation, and therefore I ended up turning to a mutual friend of ours and talking a lot about this person. And I feel like at a certain point, it wasn't productive anymore. It was just me wanting to get aggression out, but like very consistently about someone.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, it was with a close friend of mine, and we were both very close friends with this person that I was gossiping a lot about. And then on top of that, I wasn't really doing anything productive. The conversations weren't leaving. I wasn't leaving those conversations feeling lighter or better. If anything, whenever I talked about it, it used to just get me more angry. And then I wouldn't do anything, even though the person I spoke to and myself had come up with a lot of problem solving. So I think that, you know, looking over that situation, I was not using gossip in a productive way. I was more just using it because I wanted to be mean to someone.
Right.
And I saw this TikTok a little while ago that talked about how non-confrontational people are the most toxic, which I do not believe in. But,
thanks.
Well, yeah, thank you to me too. I'm also not very confrontational. But they did have one very good point, which was when you choose not to confront someone about something, you can become the problem. And we talk about this a lot, that it's okay not to confront someone about an issue, but then that's your decision not to confront them.
Yeah, I remember hearing you say that for the first time and talking about, you know, when I actively choose not to confront someone about a situation, I can't be upset that they're not making changes on their behavior because I'm not telling them that what they're doing is not agreeing with me.
Yeah.
And then that's on me. And when you told me that, it was a hard pill to swallow, not gonna lie, because I don't always confront people on the issues that I have with them, especially my friendships. But it's honestly a really good reminder.
Yeah, and again, I think you just have to weigh out your battles. If you are finding someone, you know, hard to be around and you don't want to do anything about it, that's fine. But again, it's on you.
Yeah.
And I think that it, in this situation that I was talking about, it was bad that I wasn't confronting the situation. And also it was really bad that I was bringing someone that didn't want to be a part of it into it. And that friend ended up telling me like, hey, I don't want to talk about this person anymore. It's making me uncomfortable, which was a great thing.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing that made me stop and be like, okay, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
I need to either confront this and understand the situation, which is what I did, or I have to let it be and I can't use this person as like my, you know, talking piece or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know the word I'm saying.
Your person to vent to, I guess. Yeah, I kind of relate to that situation, but the situation I'm thinking about is a little bit different. I think probably not unsimilar to you. The situation of gossip about the friend that I had an issue with, I think started out quite healthy. Something had happened and I really needed to get it off my chest. I needed feedback. I needed validation. All those things that can happen when you gossip. And that can be healthy. But when I brought up my issues with this friend to some of our mutual friends, I realized that some of my friends also had issues with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's when it started to become a little bit more toxic, because we would feed off of each other. Yeah. And it would stray away from, I've got this issue, like, can you help me solve it? And instead it was like, yeah, like, I've noticed that they do that too. And, oh, what about this thing? And, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. But, like, yeah, she totally does do that too. Yeah. And, like, I didn't like where that went. As much as I think my issues with that person were very valid, I don't think it needed to go there. I realized at a certain point that it was toxic, and it had really strayed so far away from the place where it originated. And again, kind of like what you were talking about and what we were both just talking about, is there weren't really confrontations that were happening with the variety of issues that myself and my friends were having with this person. And again, like, that was on us, and it wasn't very fair for me to be gossiping about that person or that situation anymore if I wasn't going to be taking action.
Right, exactly. And again, everyone's allowed to make mistakes. You're not going to learn unless you make a few mistakes down the road. And I do think that there's a lot of great ways that you can check in with yourself and the people around you when you choose to engage in a little bit of gossip.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you talked about, that friend setting boundaries, honestly, that feels rare. Yes. I have to say, I haven't been in a lot of situations where I find myself gossiping and someone kind of sets that sort of boundary. But I would encourage everyone to, you know what your boundaries are and also respect the boundaries of other people if they, you know, choose to share those. And having check-ins with your friends and also yourself, and thinking about whether or not you're still okay talking about someone, and if that gossip is truly still productive, or if it's becoming a little bit more mean-spirited, like the situation that I found myself in.
Yeah, and I think you and I have had those conversations before. And I think you were the one that definitely brought it up. And that was a very surprising and new way that I felt I was talking about someone else. It was interesting that you decided to be like, are we being mean? Mm. Or are we talking about the situation in a way that's productive? And I think that is a great check-in to have with yourself and even a friend, because honestly, if there is a mutual, you know, unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction with someone, I think it can spiral very, very quickly. And it's really important to check in with your friends and with yourself as well. And also, I think that this kind of leads into this idea of what is productive gossip. I think that you should be allowed to indulge in a little bit of, you know, not toxic gossip, but a little bit of, maybe this doesn't need to go anywhere. Maybe I just want to talk about something.
Yeah.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to tell someone not to do that.
Agreed.
But if you want to check in a bit with yourself, I think a really good idea is to let yourself vent, problem solve with a friend, and understanding that not everything needs to be confronted. And that situation, maybe it's one or two times or maybe a couple times, whatever, that is like how you cope. And then it's done.
Maybe the solution is, if we're thinking from a solution-based mindset here, maybe the solution really is just talking to a friend about it. And then that's all that needs to happen.
And I also think that I have a general rule for myself that I don't speak about things or gossip about things that are not in that person's control. So like looks, maybe romantic endeavors, in the sense of,
you know, I feel like I've definitely gossiped about that before.
No. I meant like not saying like she's a S-L-U-T.
Right, like shaming people for their promiscuity.
Yes, I feel like that's a better way of saying
it. Yeah, for sure.
So I think focusing on how the person is making you feel and what your interactions are with the person. Again, this is productive gossip. And instead of maybe like getting mad and being like, did you see what they were wearing today? I don't know. Do people still talk like that?
I don't know. Not my friends.
My friends. But some people do. And maybe I think it's very, it's a slippery slope. Yeah. I've definitely found myself before wanting to like think those things and needing to actively get my mind out of that.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's another thing. And also let yourself enjoy some gossip. Like we've been talking about, it's a very humanistic trait. It does not make you a bad person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need an outlet to talk about the things that are going through your head. Maybe help a friend.
Yeah.
Know your own boundaries. If something, I feel like another thing that we didn't really talk about, but is a good thing to think about, is thinking of whether someone else's gossip coming to you is maybe affecting your perception of this person.
Yeah.
And maybe you're okay with that,
but
sometimes you're not okay with it. And that may be the time where you want to step in and say something.
Yeah, I've been in some interesting situations where I maybe have a preconceived notion of someone because of some gossip I've heard about them. And then that doesn't line up when I get to know that person a little bit better. Mm-hmm. If I even let myself the opportunity to get to know that person better. Right. And so, you know, taking things with a grain of salt, perhaps.
Yeah. Use it as a warning.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like there's
nothing. If it's negative.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're hearing something from someone, and they're telling you, I would put maybe, let's say, 80% of the time they have your best intentions in mind. And I think there's definitely been times where I've heard, like, a friend of mine has wanted to start dating someone and I've heard something and I want to tell my friend to protect them, and they looked me dead in the eyes and said, thank you, I'm still gonna go and go for
queen.
It which is like, chase your bliss,
yeah,
and then we can figure it out later. But it's just, again, this like regulation of other people and this, you know, transmission of knowledge is, again, something that's very, very important to human growth and human society.
Yeah.
So don't be upset with yourself.
I heard some gossip today when I was on my break at work.
Do you want to share it with us?
This young lady was sitting there talking to a friend. I was on my break, and she was like, you know, he was telling me like not to to stop telling everyone that I cheated on you.
What?
He was saying, stop telling everyone that I cheated on you. This is what he was relaying to, like, I would assume his, like, ex or something.
Okay.
Girlfriend, ex-girlfriend. And she was like, well, if you didn't want me to tell people, then you shouldn't have cheated on me.
Oh, my God. That's another
it's
thing.
It's pretty spicy.
Kind of my favorite gossip is gossip that does not involve me whatsoever. I was just sitting with a group of friends that were just talking so much about everything that was going on in their group. I don't know almost anyone in that group, and I know no one that they were talking about, but I was eating it up.
Yeah.
Or like when, like something like this where you overhear it and you're like, oh.
I was like, oh my God, what happened? Are you okay?
What's the tea, sis?
Okay. We only have a couple more minutes left for your programming this week on Holly's birthday.
I know. I want, before we end and do the homework, I just wanted to tell everyone there is a referendum for the SASC to get more funding. Please, 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 please vote yes. Mm-hmm. SASC is a fantastic organization. I volunteer for them. They do amazing work. They deserve so much more funding.
Mm-hmm.
I think their client, their, the people that have used SASC has like quadrupled or something in the past few years. So the voting started yesterday. It goes until the 9th, so tomorrow. Please, it takes like 5 seconds. You can literally abstain from everything else. I encourage you to read everything because student government and student policy, it can be in your hands, but please vote yes.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. And with that, that's part of your homework.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Vote yes on the SASC referendum.
Yeah, and then the other part of your homework is to just check in with yourself about the gossiping and how it exists in your life right now. Think about who you're gossiping to, how often you're gossiping, what you're saying when you're gossiping, and what the purpose is for that gossiping. And if anything is kind of setting off those red flags, those alarm bells for you, maybe reconsider the way that gossip exists in your life. Again, we're not saying to remove it from your life. I would hope by the end of this episode you realize that that's not what we're saying. But, you know, just kind of have a little check-in. And if you don't find an issue with it, that's also completely okay. Mm-hmm. And know that gossiping isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks when we'll be talking about love versus limerence. And you'll find out what limerence means.
I think they know.
I'm just kidding. It's your favorite word.
I love that word. Anyways, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Happy birthday, Halle. Happy International Women's Day. Vote yes on the SASC referendum. We love you.
We love you.
Goodbye.